And I've been rereading it and reading it, and we've been sharing it between us, because it's, some of it's for both of us and some of it's just me. So we kept reading it and reading it, and I'll just basically tell you what it said. It said that I'd, well, you know, that I was made an elder and I'd be a pillar of the house of God. Well, it was funny because I was reading it again this morning, sat in bed. As it does. Ah. So I was laid on my pillow this morning, right? Zina said, I don't think it's that sort of pillow. She says, I think it's this sort of pillow. Pillar holds something up.
Yeah.
I said, but it's both. If you're a pillar. Because it goes on to say, blah, 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 blah. Alright, it says here, it says, and thou shalt no more go out and come in, for thy, this is our place, saith the Lord, upon this pillar I will cause others to rest and be built. And then I started thinking about the it's not a woman, I started thinking about the the Romans, and I mean, they didn't have chairs, they sat down on big cushions like pillars things, and they rested, and they were a pillar of the society. I mean, they ruled most of the world at one point, and they were a pillar. So then, as we were chatting this morning, and I said, but it's both, you know, you're a pillar to uphold the structure of the church and to be a support to the leader of the church. That's basically what it says. I've got to be there. My vision is the set man's vision, and but I'd be a pillar. And then when I read that other part, that you'd be a pillar for people to come and rest on and be built on, and I mean, you wouldn't go and sit on one of those or lean against one of those. You'd come and settle down and rest and sit down and be comfortable, and you'd talk and you'd to rest and be built. I mean, that's what we've been doing this last couple of days with no voice. You know, you rest, you keep quiet, and you just build yourself back up again. But you need the comfort to do that. So, I was made an elder and a pillar of the house of God. But certain parts of this I've got to work on in this next year. And a lot of it's to do with being a support for the set man, as it keeps saying down here. He says, I shall have no vision but the vision of the overseer of the house. And the overseer is the set man. And that means we've got to spend time together. Something we haven't done a lot of this last few years because of different circumstances. But the prophecy demands that we spend time together and we build, and then share it with the rest of the oversight. So I know it was a bit of a, we were joking this morning about the pillar, and they're both spelt the same, but it is both about the same. Made it too long, haven't I? Never mind. But it's a pillar to support, but a pillar for people to rest on as well, and to be built. Well, that was quite good. That I'll be a builder again. Hallelujah. So that's my little contribution.
Well, like Philip, I was looking back on my prophecy. One of the strange things I found was that I was going to be a seer. And I looked in Strong's to gain some understanding of the word seer. And I found that it meant a beholder in vision. Perceive, to see, discern. To have experience, show sight of others. View, consider, and profit. Whoa. And that, well, give me a bit of a shock. Because I can see where God's previously communicated in pictures to me various things, sort of visions and that sort of thing. But I wasn't aware of this prophet bit. It was only this week that I realised that. So I looked for a scripture to back it up, and I found one, and it was in Samuel 9:9, and it says, "Before this in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spoke, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was formerly called a seer." So I got no escape. But that's just the beginning of the thing. Because while I've been praying, what gift do you want me to have this year, Lord? I believe that he was saying to me, I want you to have a gift of knowledge. And a wisdom. And so I always try to find a way out. So I look for some scriptures, you know, that might tell me how to do it, what to do, how to present myself available. And Colossians 2 verses 3 and 4 says, acknowledge the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So I know where wisdom and knowledge comes from. And in Proverbs 1 verse 7 it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So I don't want to be a fool. So I must fear God and learn from him. And in Strong's I found that knowledge means to know, perceive, be aware, be sure, understand, and be resolved. And I thought, well, some of them words are similar to what see we're about. And in Proverbs 23 verse 12 says, applying thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the word of knowledge. And also Psalm 111 and verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding of all they that do his commandments. Again, Psalm 49 and verse 3, my mouth shall speak of wisdom, and all the and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. Wisdom in Strong's says clear, thoughtful, discreet, skill or acumen, understanding and prudent. So there's going to be a lot expected of me. This next year, it's clear that I have to seek or inquire of God, because in him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hid. To fear, and that is to reverently respect him, and to act in obedience to his promptings by applying my heart to his instruction and my ears to to his words of knowledge. All I can say to all this is, help. Please pray for me that I might follow and apply God's word to my situation and be successful in all God's plans for my life. Just got one last scripture that I want to read. It says, and this is addressing me and probably some of you, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words, and I hide my commandments within thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hidden treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." So I've got to take heed of all these scriptures and try and apply them to these circumstances that God's putting me in.
Amen.
So that's what I got.
If I remember that some of the words was to that I would get a song in the night time. That was a bit that worried me, the night time bit. You know, because it means I've got to be alert towards the end of the day when you're getting tired, you know, in the natural sense, you know. But I went to my bedroom, spare room that I have now, which is where I play on the computer and do all sorts, and I just start, what I do is I just start playing, you know, some chords and words come along. Well, I've got two lines at the moment, but you're not going to hear them yet, because I'd be breaking my prophecy if I told you, because it said I've got to take the song to the set man before it's sung. But I can report some progress. Two lines. But in the context of my prophecy, though, I always like to sort of think what's, in a sense, in between the lines, reading between the lines, because when we use English words, whatever, there's inferences, aren't there? You know, there's the literal, and then there's other sort of bits, if you like, that are attached to them, kind of conditions, I suppose, in a way. And the conditions in my prophecy is I've got to go somewhere, you know, I've got to go and be in a place where God can speak to me. That means in a space which is my designated space, you know. It's a bit like prayer. You have to find the place that's yours, where you're comfortable and where you're not distracted, and just wait, you know. And I have lots of blessings at night sometimes when I go to that place with my guitar, apart from everything else, you know. And it's like you can have a real praise party on your own, you know. You don't have to be in church and be with lots of other people. And so I'm looking forward to God. Well, I know that I've got to be disciplined and be in the right place and listen. So hopefully in a year's time I'll bring another two verses. I'm sorry, a bit quicker than that, Andrew, sorry, okay. There were other bits of my prophecy that I think it started off by saying I'd stopped my wandering. Well, I think I've stopped my wandering. I mean, I've not wandered anywhere else yet. But wandering, though, and finding the right church to me is not just about Harvest Field, because your wanderings, it says the way is narrow. So it's about how I live my life, you know. It's not just when I'm here at church and that. I mean, yes, I've found God's brought me into this fellowship, which has been very beneficial to me and continues to be a blessing. Thank you. But away from here, you know, you don't all see me, you know, when I'm at home and where I'm elsewhere. You know, we wander as well. One of my struggles at the moment while I've been off work is well, as you know, my head needed sorted out. Not that I've lost it. I don't think I have. age does affect you, but not that much, I don't think. But wandering, we can wander in our thoughts as well. You know, we have to keep our thoughts right and get our heads clear in what we believe. And you know, it is a battle for the mind, isn't it? You know, our minds are really pounded, you know, day in and day out. And we have to really grasp and get hold of God's word and use it and say, get lost, you know, devil, you know, get away from me. A sister at Hilltop Church this morning gave me a verse, and I can't remember what it was, but the inference was that God gave us his spirit in order that we might have a sound mind. To me, that means a clear mind, clear judgment, clear decisions, clear thinking, clear advice. You know, whatever, you know, it's not messed up by the world's way of thinking. And I found that a real blessing, that scripture that lady gave me. And I didn't know she was going to. It was just, it was a handmade Christmas card that she'd made and just gave it. And, you know, when people give you something and it's just the right thing at just the right time, you know, because that's what God's saying to me and trying to get me sorted out, is to have a sound mind, Andy. That means, but there's a challenge in that, isn't there, in having a sound mind? Because a sound mind with God is about what we believe and what's in our heart and what we need to witness to other people in how we live. So for me, you know, not that I don't believe and I don't know that God does that, but it's a challenge, isn't it? Because we've got to be different. And I don't very often tell other people that I believe in Jesus, you know, at work and what have you. But my challenge for this year, within the context of my prophecy, I think, is that as well. Because we, you know, we have to keep on growing. And I want to grow. And it's hard sometimes because I had a bit of a battering a little while ago. But God's given me a period of rest. And I'm starting to use that. Like in the carols, you know, his peace is perfect peace, you know. When you've got it, you know you've got it, and you don't have to worry, do you, about anything when you've got it? My determination is to fulfil the prophecy that he's given over my life, and I know that will happen. There was nothing in it. There was no time scale in it. It didn't say this will happen by whenever. But if I don't do my part, it won't happen at all. Will it? You see, there's a relationship there. So that's all I wanted to say. I don't even think I wanted to say all that, but God's put it there.
Songs in the night, and what you've been going through has been a bit of a night experience. You know, one of the darker sides. And I believe a lot of David's songs came out of such situations, and that's probably why you've got those two lines.
I'm not recording this, are I, Graham?
Graham, you're not recording this, are you? I'm another pillar. Somebody, I know that because it says so here. There's a pillar in the house of the Lord, for even though all my pillars are not to be seen, but it holds the weight. But yeah, it says here I'm going to stop moaning as well and complaining. Well,
stop picking on me. Stop moaning.
I used to be a professional moaner, a complainer. So it says here, there shall be no more grumbling heard from thee, there shall be no more complaining from thee, because from this day forward you shall know only fulfilment, says the Lord. Most of you know, I used to be a television engineer, and television engineers are inherently moaners. They will moan about anything and everything. And I used to be a professional moaner, and yeah, I think I'm addressing this problem. I think I'm not totally there yet, but I think I'm tempering it a little bit. But it says here I'm also going to be an encouragement to the musicians. So you musicians, I'll encourage you. Consider yourselves encouraged. But what really came to me, is this good or what? What came to me yesterday was this. Come just as you are. Anybody know what WYSIWYG means? I think you all do. It means WYSIWYG. It's an acronym meaning what you see is what you get. You know that. Right. This came to me this morning, yesterday. Word for today, UCB. And I thought this was addressed. It. Sometimes you see these things, I think, that's meant for me. They knew I was coming by here today. You know. I can't read it without the other one. It's telling me to be myself. You know, we're not here to impress you. You can worship the Lord in your own way. I don't know if everybody read this yesterday, but I'll read this little passage from it. The best style of worship for you is the one that authentically represents your love for God based on your background and your personality. If God intentionally made us all different, why would we all be expected to express our love for Him in the same way? There's no one size fits all. You don't glorify God by trying to be something He doesn't need one more of. God wants you to be yourself. Listen, that's the kind of people the Father is out looking for. Those who simply and honestly themselves, who are simply and honestly themselves before Him in their worship. So, you know, I tend to stay away from the, Emperor's New Clothes syndrome, you know. So, if we all worship the Lord in our own way, then I worship the Lord in my way. So if I don't raise my hands when everybody else raises their hands, I'm not here to impress other people. I'm here to impress the Lord, and he's quite happy with me if I speak to him in Yorkshire dialect. Hey up, God, thanks for answering that prayer for me last night. That was brilliant. You've always answered me, and that's all right. I love thee and all this stuff, like, you know. And I think it gets through because this is the way He's made me, and I think this is the way He wants me to worship Him. And if I don't speak in tongues, I'm not bothered. I don't feel that God is asking that of me. If everybody else speaks in tongues, then that's what God has got for them. And this is basically all I have to say here today. Alright.
Alright, with this, is it? Am I on? Right. It's a bit of a rush, this, so I'm going to read it. Well, I believe the gift that God wants me to have next year is the gift of faith. And it surprised me, really, because when I've read, through all gifts, I've not really took a lot of notice of this gift of faith. And, I know that our faith in Jesus, our faith in salvation, that was a gift. That's a gift from God. But this gift of faith, I know, is slightly different. And I know it's given for specific needs and circumstances, but that's as much as I know. So, to prepare for this gift of faith, I know I've got to learn about it. And as the new year approaches, I realise that I need to spend a lot of time in God's presence, and I need to develop my relationship with God. Also, I realise I need more and more to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I know I really must learn to be able to hear His quiet voice. And at the moment, in my readings, I'm reading Revelation. And as I've read through, I noticed in the messages to the seven churches, in each one, it's to him who overcomes. And also it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
And I know this word here also means to obey. But if I don't hear, I can't obey. And if I don't hear, I can't move to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So it's really important that I hear. And a few weeks ago I was sharing about David and the mulberry trees. And David had to listen for the army marching in the top of the trees before he went out to face his enemies. So he had to learn to hear before he could obey and before he moved. And that's the same with us, with the Holy Spirit. And you know, it's the same with me. I really have got to listen, obey, and move in the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that's if, you know, if we want breakthrough, if we want to flow in the Spirit, and if we want the victory, if we want to be he who overcomes. And I noticed that in 2 Samuel that God had already moved to strike the Philistines before David went out. So I'll just read that. "And it shall be, when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall act promptly, for then the Lord will have gone out before you to strike the army of the Philistines." Then David, just as the Lord had commanded him. And I mean, in our lives, we know that we've got the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. But, you know, like David, and I'm speaking to myself here, I still have to face my enemies. And I still have to be that overcomer. But I know that I do it in the strength and in the power of Jesus. So that's my challenge for next year, to learn about the gift of faith and to definitely spend more time in God's presence and learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, we hear a lot about the gift of God. We've been preparing ourselves to give gifts to our loved ones. But there's one here: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Now we'll put a question to you. I know not all of you are over 50, but going back 39 years ago, this is a question to you and me. Can you remember what you got for Christmas? And if you remember what you got, have you still got it? Because I will confess, I don't know what I've got from my beloved wife, nor from Andrew, nor from Pauline. That's a Christmas 1964 I'm talking about. I don't know. And I don't know what I gave them. But I do know what I received. And that's Jesus Christ. That's something I haven't forgotten, and something I've still got today, and it's as fresh as ever. In fact, it's better year by year. It's fresher. It doesn't go stale. I don't play with it 2 or 3 days and put it away and forget it. I use it every day. I live by it. I'm guided by it. And that's my life. Now my desire is to seek the gift for 2004 is Love and Meekness. There's a little bit in Galatians here. Chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Have you noticed this verse puts love first? And that's what I want to seek, the love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness. The other one begins with meekness. And I want the love and meekness in my life. Because Christ is love, and Christ was meekness. Because of his love and meekness, he was willing to lay his life down, not just for me and you, but for whosoever. That means from all four corners of this earth. Temperance, against such there is no law. Now, if we've got that, if I've got that, there's no law against it. Because I shall operate in the love and in the meekness. I will not upset you. I will not upset anyone else. I shall live perfectly. Now, that is a challenge, to be perfect. Now, the only one I know that has lived perfect life, and he was crucified for me, because he was perfect. So I want to try and live a perfect life. That's my aim for 2004. And only thing I can achieve it but by God's grace. Amen.
The same prophecy in February, and Americans come, and so we've got similar things. And then Margaret came up and said she wanted to develop the gift of being more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and that's similar to what I got. We've been doing on Wednesdays at Bible school about prophecy and stuff like that, and when we had that session where we just listened to the Holy Spirit to see if we had a word for someone else, I didn't really get anything, so I was a bit annoyed at myself. But and then so I thought, well, I think that God wants to develop the gift of listening in my life. I need to become more sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is telling me and spend more time each day listening for his voice.
I think God wants to give me the gift of listening so that I can listen for you and help say the right thing to my friends, so that I can help listen and pray for someone if they are in need, so that I can listen and know what to say in prayer groups, for sermons, or praying for the offering, and I could put it into practice every day. I've just got and you've got to have peace to pray, to be able to listen. So, John 14, verse 27. peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And John 8 verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen. And they can't listen because they're not in peace. And then, John 7 verse 17 says, if anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. So, if someone's listening, they'll know if it's from God. Well, it's from themselves. And then Proverbs 1:33. But whosoever listens to me will draw safely and will be secure without fear of evil.
Well, I've really been feeling that for me and for Andrew, God wants to enlarge our vision. That was the prophecy that was given in February to us, that God would enlarge our vision, and that we were not to look at things naturally, we were to look at things, we were to look at God, because he was going to do it. We just had to give him opportunity. And there were lots of things that were said in that prophecy. God said we were going to be highly favoured. Andrew was going to be highly favoured of God. And with the conference centre, it was going to take each and every one of us working together to bring about what God had promised. And I think that is tremendous. God doesn't just leave us isolated, does he, at the top? It's the whole body ministering. And God also said in this prophecy that other individuals in the fellowship were going to come alongside us and going to share the ministry and take the load with us. And that's what's been happening over this year. And it's been very rewarding and encouraging, and I thank God for that. And I really feel God was saying to me these past couple of weeks that he wants to increase my faith. He wants to give me more faith. And that's the gift that he has for me this year. And the only way I'm going to get more faith is by taking in more of the word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And also my faith is increased as I trust God for bigger goals. And I think for me the challenge is to set goals that I might see God meet those needs and achieve those goals in me, and then I can build my faith step by step. There's some big things for us, I know, some big strides for us to take, but first of all I believe God wants me to start taking the smaller strides and to look for positive definite goals that I might think. You know, it's easy every day to just meander through a day, and then a week's gone, and then a month's gone, and then 6 months has gone, and I'm thinking, well, what have I really believed God for? You know, I'm so excited at what God has shown us in his word and how the teaching of the kingdom has come to us, but I feel God's also saying to me, the teaching of the kingdom has been absolutely fantastic, we need it, we need to see it from another perspective, but we also need to keep a hold of what we've already received from him. And I think what I've done, at one time I used to read my Bible, and when when a word jumped out at me, I knew when God was speaking to me, and I wouldn't let go, and I'd go back to that word and back to that word and back to that word until I saw it fulfilled. But of these past couple of years, I've tended to drop that, and I've read my word looking for what's kingdom, what's kingdom, what's kingdom. And God's saying, you've got the kingdom, you won't, you know, I'll reveal more and more of the kingdom, but don't let go of the simple faith that I gave you. And that has been, in some way, a loss to me. And I believe God is saying to me, now read that word in the simplicity that you used to read it. And when you feel that quickening in your spirit and you know I'm speaking to you, keep going back to it. Keep it on your mind. Keep it before your eyes until you see it fulfilled. And it's these little goals that God wants me to achieve, and to see him work in the small way that I might believe him for the bigger thing. And you know, this morning when I woke up, I just sort of afresh said to myself, who God is to me. He's my healer. I have divine health in my body from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, not because I feel it, but because God says it, and that is sufficient. There's no contest against that word. God says it, that settles it. That's how Wigglesworth believed, and that's how God wants us to believe. If God says it, that settles it. It's forever written in heaven. And God renews my youth like the eagle. I have all the finance that I need. Everything that I need, God has provided for. He has delivered me from my enemies. No one can succeed against me. No weapon formed against me can prosper. And these, I think I've taken them for granted for so long. And God's been saying to me, no, Grace, go back to them. You've said them so frequently, but now stand on them again. See those victories in Jesus' name. And last week, God blessed me with a couple of scriptures. And they were concerning the fellowship. Because this past 12 months we've seen more of a falling away than an adding to. And in the natural that can be discouraging. And I was thinking on those lines a couple of weeks ago. And you know, just this simple faith on the 18th of December. I picked up my Bible and God said, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it, for there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it tarries, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. And then the same day, though the fig tree doesn't blossom and no fruit is on the vine, though the produce of the olive fails and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there's no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He makes me tread upon the heights. God wants us to look at his word, what he says, his promise. His word is the ultimate authority. And in simplicity, he wants me to take that word and exercise it, walk in it, eat it, drink it, believe it, and he'll do the rest. Praise God.
When I looked up the prophetic word spoken over me in February, over the last few months, God had already been showing me the way forward. And so it's like being a gradual progression, and I think some of it's to do with my dad, and some of it's to do with the fact that Philip comes home and he's got a class of 30 children, and yet when he comes home he always mentions half a dozen every time, the same kids that are pains in the neck for him. While 24 in the class are being good and responding to his discipline, these six are getting right up his nose. And he comes home and he moans and he groans, and I've been sort of listening patiently and trying to give him some advice. but it was getting me down. And in the end, I got hold of the video. And it's an educational consultant from Australia. And God used this tool called Bill Rogers. And he deals with class discipline and behaviour and all this. And whilst I was watching this video, God showed me something. Now, when Bill Rogers has a class, it's the first time he's had this class, he puts this on the board. And he asks his students, what do they see when they look at it? What do you see when you look at it, Ken? Right. What do you see, Andrew, when you look at this? And you might not have heard that. Most of his students will say it's a black spot on a white sheet of paper. And Bill Rogers turns it round and he says, why can't your main focus be a white sheet of paper with a black spot in? And that's it. What is your focus? And God sort of really said to me, Zena, come on. So I have a child that I work with. After this video, it affected me that much, I thought, on Monday, when I worked with this child called Dylan, who has severe speaking difficulty. The fact is, when he was a baby, his father decided to repair the motorcycle in the kitchen, and the motorcycle fell on the baby, on Dylan. So he's got this lovely big scar here, and it's affected this part of his brain, and he can't really talk properly. And all the teachers have written him off because they say he's dumb. But for a while I thought, he is not dumb. And I've been working alongside a speech therapist. And we use Makaton. And Makaton, you speak, but you use certain signs like, this is thank you, this is please. If you want to drink water, that's water, you see. But he has to say it as well. And this little child, from being really frustrated and withdrawn, I've kept going with, and suddenly he's become very verbal. In fact, he's got so verbal that another teaching assistant, when she hears me in the library in my little corner with him, and we start the lesson, and he'll say, that again. And I say, yes, Dylan, it's that again, we've got to keep doing it. Again? Yes, Dylan, you know. And God asked you, I keep thinking of this white sheet of paper, black spot, don't look at the behaviour, Zena, keep thinking. You know, keep working with him. And it's opened my eyes up, you see, because what's your focus on? Anyway, we've decided to do this with the boys. And this, it's not easy. This Christmas, Daniel said, from his grandma and granddad, he wanted a punch ball. There was from Boots, this lovely punch ball and boxing gloves. And him being a teenager, he has these moments when he gets up in the morning and he's like a grizzly bear. And we thought, right, ideal present, give it to him. When he's frustrated, first thing in the morning, he can get hold of his boxing gloves, get the punch ball, try and get out of his system. Might help him to leave his brother alone, who he generally uses as a... How wrong can you be? Because yesterday, Daniel wore one boxing glove and Luke wore the other boxing glove, and Daniel decided to take a swing at his brother's head and went like that, you see, and he got this lovely big bruise. So at the moment there's some correction going off there, how to use this equipment correctly. Daniel, the punch ball is blue and white. Thank you. So, that's how it is with us, and with me in particular. God's been saying for a couple of months now, focus and speak encouragement. In the prophecy it says, speak grace and messages of love and support. And it's the learning curve. And I do blow it at work. I found I've gotten into the disagreement or the discouragement and the complaining side, but I'm quicker at repenting. than I was before. And it's brought to mind a video we first saw at Andrews and Grace's when we first met them. And it was when we met, Jerry came into contact with Jerry Seville. Can you remember that, Andrew? The journey of faith being a boat, and the world going one way, and you're paddling upstream, but sometimes you just turn, you let go of things and you just turn around and you find you're drifting the world's way. But there's always that being able to turn back round again, battling against the world and going that way, going upstream with God. So that's what 2004, I believe, is about for me.
I believe the Lord's been showing me this year is His faithfulness. How, you know, through difficult times and through circumstances in my life over the last year, He's always been there. The outcome's not what I would have anticipated, but I could see that it was God in it all. And at the beginning of the year when we went to Vortry Hall, I had this prophecy over me where you heard it all, but I don't know if you know what the Lord said, but the Lord gave me a place in the church, and at that moment in time I couldn't see that I would be able to fulfill that calling. Anyway, I didn't strive in it, I prayed about it, and I thought, well, God will make a way, He will make a way. And I've learned that, to trust Him over the last 12 months, and He has made a way. A way that I would never have thought was possible. And it's just perfect in every way. In every way. I can see the finances, everything about it has just been of the Lord. And it's drawn me closer to Him, because I know that He's a God that will fulfill His word and His will for our lives if we don't stand in the way. I could have so easily been excited about it and tried to make it happen, but I didn't. I was able to fulfill all my commitments right to the very end without letting anyone down. And I just know that I just can't find words to just praise Him enough, because He is there. He'll never leave us, He'll never forsake us, He'll bring us through, and He'll bring His will for our lives through if we don't get in the way. If we don't mess up and get in the way, He will fulfill His perfect will in our lives. Thank you, Lord.
I've been praying about this to see what God wanted to give me for the coming year, and the word that I kept getting was trust. And over the past few weeks, there's one particular scripture that stood out. It keeps sort of coming back, and at the time when I originally heard it was like, yeah, there's something in that, and then I push it to one side, but every single time it's sort of came back a little bit more forceful, till now it's sort of right there in my face, so I can't avoid it anymore. And it's in Proverbs, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." And with this trust, you know, I look back in the Bible and you see some of the characters that really did know how to trust their God. I've written a few names down here. We've got Daniel in the lion's den. He trusted his God when he was in the lion's den, and he knew that He would deliver him. We've got Moses in the wilderness. He trusted God every single day to feed his people and to give them water. Every single day he trusted his God that He would do that for him. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they trusted God when they were thrown in the fiery furnace. And I look at this and I look at David. You know, all that he went through, and you read in his Psalms, and he really did trust the Lord in everything. Everything that he went through, the trust that he had in his God was amazing. And I know with myself, if it's something the absolute impossible, I can trust God for that, because I know there is absolutely nothing I can do. I don't have any problems trusting God when I know I can't do it. The problem that I've got is when I can do it for myself. I'm sort of, oh yeah, I'm quite happy doing that. You just stay there and I'll do my own little thing. A bit like what Geraldine was saying, if she had got involved, she could have been all excited and gone off saying, yeah, I can do this, I can make this happen. But God was in it, and he dealt with it perfectly. And that's what I've really got to get to a stage where I trust God in the little things. And it just reminded me of when you see a married couple. You know, they're quite independent and able to do things in their own right, but they don't. They do things out of love for each other. It's not born out of necessity. You know, Mum might be able to do something perfectly all right by herself, but Dad will do it for her. And it's this, you know, this relationship that's been built. And I think that's something that I really want to focus on myself this year. I mean, how am I going to achieve this gift that God wants to give me of trust? Because I know in myself, you know, I'm very fortunate. I can say, yeah, I've got a lot of friends, but there's probably only a handful of people out of that people that I trust. And they're people who I've got a relationship with, that sort of a long-standing relationship, where my experience of them is that through the things that have happened to me, I know that I can trust them. And that's the only way you can really build trust. It's not sort of, I have to look at myself and think, I've got to be more trusting of people. The way that it will be built up in me is born out of a relationship where an experience will result in me trusting someone more. And it's the same with God. You know, if I want to build up this trust so that I will trust God in absolutely everything, then it's going to come from relationship with Him. The more I know about Him and the more time I spend with Him, the more experiences I'll have with Him, and then my trust will start to grow. So that's really what I want to do this year. I want to get to a stage where Catherine gets out of the way and I leave it to God, I trust in God, and I will see what He wants to do, His perfect will for my life. And just finish here, this is I was reading through the Psalms, and there was one particular psalm that really hit me. It was, and it's about David. This is all about David's trust. And when I read about some of the things that he went through, it's just amazing. But this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to focus on this every morning. I'm going to read this psalm and say, if David could trust in God in these circumstances, then I can trust in Him every day. I'll read it to you. It's Psalm 56. Be merciful to me, O God. For men hotly pursue me all day long, they press their attack. My slanderers pursue me all day long, many are attacking me in their pride. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? All day long they twist my words, they are always plotting to harm me. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, eager to take my life. On no account let them escape. In your anger, O God, bring down the nations. Record my lament, list my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this I will know that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? I am under vows to you, O God. I present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. And if you see here, David is in a real predicament. And all he can say is, you know, I'll praise the Lord, and what can God do to me? What can man do to me? They can't. They can't do anything, because he trusted in God. Praise God.
Amen. Yeah. No matter what's happening, God is in control.
He is.
You and I have got to learn to believe that.
Amen.
And you and I have got to learn to walk in that. And then when circumstances look totally different,
yeah,
we have to believe what God told us.
Yeah.
not what we see. Because most of the time, if not all of the time, what we see is through the eye of the flesh. We need to see through the eye of the Spirit. And that is not impossible. I was sharing at the beginning, before the meeting started, how even in this last 12 months, times God has just drawn back the curtain. It's a little bit like this building. If we pull those curtains together, this is reality that we know in the realms of the flesh. But beyond that curtain is the real reality.
Amen.
Eternity. God's eternity. God's plans. God's purposes. They still continue on. Even when we think things have stopped, things are still carrying on. Mum's not dead. Mum is carrying on. She's on the other side of the curtain. All we need to do is for God to pull back the curtain. Let us see through the realms and through the eye of the Spirit. And as we see that, that will cause us to press on further. Because the grave has no sting, the grave has no victory. We move on. We change suits. We change attire. We move on into our eternity. We move on into a realm where it is continuous and it never, never, never ends. And I think, you know, this, we had a tremendous conference in February, and I know that we since then seem to have been, well, it seems like the devil's had every battleship, every cruiser, every submarine, every anti-aircraft gun that he can find in his weaponry, and he has just laid them all before us to begin to cause us to cause fear to rise up within us, to cause us to be distracted from what God has said to us, to be distracted from the vision that God has given to us, so that we'd lose it. And in all the anti-aircraft fire and all the bombing that's going on, we would lose sight of what God has said. But He, Jesus, has purchased the victory.
Amen.
He's done it. Not you, not me, but Jesus. And He says in His word that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. So look at somebody and say, I am more than a conqueror.
I am more than a conqueror.
I am more than a conqueror. You know, you've got to say it with, I am more than a conqueror. You see? You've got to get, you and I have got to get to that point when we are not doubting the word of God. We've already heard it today. Faith, trust. Trusting God more. Believing God more. It is not trying to work it out for yourself. The moment that you begin to try and work out the situation, to work out the problem, to work out the difficulties, guess what? God sits back and lets you get on with it. Most of us will be able to remember the Rubik Cube. Yes, can't we? Very few of us will have ever done it, will we? Very frustrating. You know, you get one side right and you think, yes, and you turn it round and the other one's wrong. You know, the other sort of six are still wrong. And you start again and then you think you get that one right and you're nearly there, you've just one more to do, and again it all goes to pieces. I know people that cheated, used to peel the stickers off.
Yeah.
Stick them all on back on and say, I've done it, look, you know. It's like, no, you didn't. You only did it in your own eyes, but you see, you did not achieve that which was before you. I never did it. I just didn't have the patience in one sense. I just thought, no way. I had other things to do. That's what I felt like. I had other things to do. And in the same way, you see, God has things for, God is doing things and preparing things for you and for me. And to some, sometimes to us, they are like a Rubik's Cube. And when God throws you the Rubik's Cube and you catch that Rubik's Cube, you look at it and you think, dear God, no. Exactly. You don't know where to start. The best way to start is to throw it back to God and say, well, God, I'm not good at these. I'm not good at these problems. I'll pass it back into your hands, Lord, and I will follow you. And you know, you and I have got to learn to follow what God is trying to do. When God begins to show you the next step, you have the responsibility to step into that next step. We sing that Christmas carol, don't we? Good King Wenceslas, lass. Lass looked out on the feast of Stephen. And then he sets off to take these presents and these gifts and this food with a desire to see this man sit and dine and have a banquet. And he takes his young page with him. You and I are the young page. And he begins to walk behind the king. And he begins to flag. Ever flagged before? Felt like quitting? And the king turns and says to him, page, put your foot into my footsteps and follow me. He's already making a way for us. He has a vision, and God is putting his footstep down. God is putting his foot down. And your responsibility in what God gave to you, each individual, to you, right? At that conference, God has put his foot down. And you know, all he's waiting for you to do is to put your first foot into that footstep that he's made. It does mean that you and I have to make some footsteps. It does mean we have to have some motion. But we are in a following motion. And we have to hunger and thirst. Keep that vision before you. Keep it ever before you. I know God said to us, enlarge the vision. And you know, to some degree, my eye's been taken off the ball with all that has been going on. So much has been going on, and one's become distracted, become weary, exhausted, emotionally tired. One begins to flag. One begins to sit down and take one's rest and think, well, can't do it, why should I? What's the point? The devil will bring up your past. Not just in your mind. These last few weeks, he's bringing some of my past up physically. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Knocking on the door, ringing the phone, knocking on the church door, writing me letters. It's like, God, deliver me, you know. And it has been, you know, it has been a trauma, and you have to learn to. Sometimes you have to just learn to let God get hold of this situation and let God deal with it.
Amen.
God said to Grace and I that we are to enlarge our vision. That's something we've got to do. And we're still, you know, beginning to work, I suppose, on that. Then they prayed over us and began to say that God was going to bless us in our business. Well, at that point in time, the business was sliding downhill. And I was prepared to let it go. Not panic. But God, if this is the end of this, then fine, that's okay with me. I want to do what God wants to do. I don't care too much for things. I wanted to do what God wanted to do. And so I just said to God one day, well, Lord, if this is the end of this, if this time is over, then I surrender it all to you and hand it into your hands. And if it is not, Lord, then you're in charge of this. Then you make a way where there is no way. Because I don't know a way. And then by the time June came round, God had seemed to be opening a door and making a way, and turned the circumstance and situation around. Oh, there are still some problems, but that's the ploy of the enemy, that he's seeking to come in and rob. But he cannot rob what God has given to us. He's been caught, and he will pay dearly. And God will continue to bless us. But you see, again, it's each time that the opportunity, an opportunity came before us, we listened to it, we saw the face of God, and then we followed through. And yet that opportunity was possibly around in January of that year. But it was sort of taken from us, and that was okay. Because it is in God's time, in God's plan, and in God's purpose. And that you and I are going to learn to walk in that. Now, in each and every one of you that has been given a prophecy, God is going to work it in within you and work it out through you. But you have to begin to press on. You have to begin to make yourself available. As you were saying, how are you going to do it? One of my thoughts was, well, I don't know how that's going to happen. But then again, I'm not God.
No.
I have to believe what God said, or what the man of God said, that so God will make a way where there is no way. God changes circumstances and situations.
Amen.
And in our circumstances and in our situations, God is character building.
Yeah.
Gee, thanks God. Is there not an easier way?
No.
There isn't.
No.
You see, you and I, we want it instant, don't we? Instant custard, instant coffee, instant gravy. You just push it in the microwave and stir, and there it is. You know? You watch the Star Trek series, you know, and what would you like to eat? And then just go over to this machine and tell the machine what you want, and there it is, it appears, you know. And people begin to live like that and think like that and think that's reality. And people come to Christ and they want all the problems solved, and just like that. It's taken them 30 years to get into that state. And they want God to come along like a fairy godmother and go, that's it, you know, it's all over.
I wish.
Yeah, it's a wish. Well, God is not the fairy godmother. He's the creator of the universe. He's your heavenly Father.
Yeah.
He's the giver of all good things.
Amen.
So as he's given to you, as he's given to you the word, then that word will bring substance.
It will.
It has to do. What he demands of you is obedience. What he demands of you is staying in his word. What he demands of you and me is trusting him. What he demands of you and me is being faithful.
Yeah.
Faithful to his word. Faithful to those he has placed us with. Honouring those that he has set before us. And as we do that, then God will begin to fulfil his word in you, in me, in the person next to you. And we will see things come to pass.
Amen.
Now we can look and think, well, yeah, we've gone through what seems to be a heavy pruning.
Amen.
We've gone through a difficult time. But we're still here.
Amen.
We're still here. There is still the same anointing.
Yeah.
There is still the same presence. Now you might say, well, I don't feel it at times. It's not what you feel, but it's about trusting God. And it is about you as an individual and me as an individual reaching out into the realm of God's supernatural and taking hold of what God has for us and bringing it back in the now. And you stop doing it. Some of you have stopped doing it. You stop reaching out and taking hold of the future. You stop reaching out into the realm of the Spirit and pulling in what God has for you today. I'm guilty of that. Because we become... We become... concentrated on the cares of this world. The things around us prevent us from moving on. We begin to be distracted. We take our eye off what God has said for us to do. I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of that, and I should know better. But in the turmoil, and that's what happens, you see, the devil brings a lot of turmoil along to distract, and you take your eye off what God is saying, and you think you're doing the right thing. But it's okay, we're still here. God is still on the throne. Jesus is still seated at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit is still moving to and through the earth, willing to speak and to touch whoever is willing to receive. So heaven hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. You have, I have. But if I've changed, that means I can also change again. And we can move back to the position where God wants us to be in.
Yeah.
And we can move into His presence. And let God begin to move us forward. There are many people, even this year, who have been touched by God through this work.
Yeah.
Through Harvest Fields. God has touched people's lives. There is no doubt about that. There are people whose lives have been touched, but they're afraid of the finger of God. There are people who God has spoken to, but they are afraid of hearing the truth from God. And so they run away. Because they are not yet ready to pay the price. And there is always a price to pay. You know, we've so often in the past, people have preached, come to Jesus and everything will be fine. Will it? Well, I missed it along the way somewhere. It didn't happen like that for me. Come to Jesus and all your problems will be solved. They will be. They are being solved, but they are not yet solved. Do you know why? Because I am one of my biggest problems. Work in progress. I'm a white sheet of paper and God's still writing on it. You can... The only way I can sort of explain that is, if you develop a computer program, you have to write the program down into the system for the computer chip to understand. And you have to put it in the computer chip's language. Well, God takes a clean sheet of paper with you when you get born again and begins to write the program down. And He's writing the program down. So that you will react, respond to the way, to the moving of the computer chip, the Holy Spirit, as He moves on you, as there is that connection, and things will change. You'll not crash as many times as Microsoft 2000, as Windows 95, 98, and ME. Hallelujah.
Can you bring back to be
No. See, God is about to do a great thing in you. He's working on you, and He's working through you, and He's developing you and I. It's not about seeking our own way. It's seeking God's way. It's not about building our own empires, but it's about building the kingdom of God. It's about a personal relationship day by day with Jesus. And that in that personal relationship, we carry that into our job. Catherine, when you were speaking, God said to me, one thing that you need to pray for, you need to ask God for, and you need to continue to ask for it every day until you know you've got it. And that is, you need to ask for the gift of wisdom. That is one thing that God has said. You need this coming year. God is going to give you wisdom beyond your age and beyond your understanding. You see, if God hadn't said that you to ask for it, then God would not be going to give it to you. It's fairly simple. It is not complicated the way God works. So God is saying, ask for it. You don't have it because you haven't been asking. In the same way, God has also said of you, you are now to begin to ask for that wisdom. You can't do it on your own. You've now begun to realise that. You went to college, university, you had all the teacher training skills, you did all the exams, you had all the learning, and still having all that learning, you can have as much learning as you can get and not have any wisdom. And God is saying, I'm not saying you haven't got wisdom, but God is saying you need to ask Him, because that is what He's going to give to you. That needs to be one of the first things you ask Him for every day as you prepare for that day. The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. To be wise as serpents and yet harmless as doves. Jude says this. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Present you faultless before the presence of His glory. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. With exceeding joy. Glory to God. Now, what a verse. I mean, that ought to be a verse maybe that we should take through into 2004. In fact, it's Jude verse 24. It just needs a couple of notes sticking in the middle, and it's 2004. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Whoa. Glory to God. With exceeding joy. To the only wise God.
Yeah.
There you go. He's the only wise God. Our Saviour. Be glory.
Yeah.
And majesty.
Yeah.
Dominion. And power. Both now. And ever. Amen. And I believe that's God's word to us today. For us to launch on to 2004. The reason I just brought this, I was sat there and God said, you need to bring just something for the folks at the end of the year. Well, we're not having a meeting at the end of the year, so bring it now. He's able to keep you. Look at somebody and say, He's able to keep you. He's able to keep you. He's able to keep you. Amen. He's able to keep you, but there's a goat around. You see, every one of you keeps a goat. now then. He's able to keep you. But there's that goat again. But you have to submit. You have to submit your will, your desires, your passions, and your intentions to Him. To Him, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And when you do that, He's able to keep you. He's able. And I believe the prophecies that have been given over your lives will begin to come to pass. You have to realize that when a word is given to you, again, it is not a word that is for always an instant word. Rarely. There is an appointed time on the word that God has given to you. The reason God gives you the word, the reason God begins to tell you, is so that you can begin to prepare yourself. Study to show yourself approved. Prepare yourself. That which God has spoken to you will come to pass. Speaking this afternoon, and what about Moses? He was born with a vision in him. He was born with God's word before he arrived. He was born on the word that he would be the deliverer of the children of Israel. It was foretold 400 years before. He's a boy with an appointment and a destiny with God. And around about 40 years old, he decides, he realizes who he is, what he is, what he's about to do, and decides he's going to do it in his own strength, in his own knowledge, in his own wisdom, and in his own ability. One man against all of Egypt. You laugh at that, but the truth is, it's got to be the right man. The right time. If it's the right man at the right time, one man can put 1,000 to flight. One man with God's anointing can change the destiny of a nation. As we see in Moses. But you see, Moses stood on his own. Did it in his own strength and ended up spending another 40 years in the desert. In the backside of the desert, keeping sheep. Watching burning bushes. And then suddenly one of the bushes begins to speak. God calls him, appoints him, and sets him on his way to fulfill what God had already spoken about in his word some 400 years before. This time he walks in the anointing, in the time, and the presence under that covering of God. What does he have with him? A rod. That's all he takes. God's deliverer comes with a rod. Set the children of Israel free from a grip of iron, from a grip of slavery, to turn them into a great nation, to take them to a land, a promised land, that is flowing with milk and honey. There are cities that they have not built that they will inhabit, vineyards planted that they have never planted, and barns that they have never built, filled with the corn and the wheat of the land. And all it needed was obedience. A 7-day march, and we could be there. It took 40 years. And he had it all there. All he did, every time Pharaoh challenged him, he used his rod, spoke the word. We need to be an obedient people to the Spirit of God, and it needs to be that tune. You see, God will strike the chord and we shall rise in the power and in the presence of his might. And what seems totally impossible is possible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. So you and I, it's our time to follow, to be obedient. Get rid of the goats. Let the goat go free. Send the goat off into the wilderness with the sins on it. Let that goat go and come into absolute and total obedience to God. And I tell you, God will give us great favour. He'll give us favour with strangers. He'll cause people to come to us, and he will plant his word in this area in Doncaster that has never ever yet seen a revival. And God will do something great and mighty. And God is looking for a people who are willing to pay the price. There will be a price to pay, a price of obedience and sacrifice unto God, but we shall see a great reward. And as I say, there has been so many people that have gone through us in the past that are afraid to obey God. They're afraid. The problem is, they're afraid when you and I start moving in the power of God. They're afraid of the love that so often comes across. They can't handle it. They find it strange. They've never experienced anything like that, and they panic and run from it. We need to, Lord, give us wisdom on how to use it to win these people to you, to bring them into your kingdom, to bring them into freedom. You see, people are so tied up. Religious people are so tied up in religious bondage. Can't get free. You see, there is a safety in a pure structure. Hymn, prayer, sermon. You know, you can have these hymn prayer sandwiches if you want. And it's safe because you know what's coming next. It's okay. I know exactly what's going to happen next. And you can prepare yourself so that when it's coming, you can turn off. You know? Eyes are open. You're sitting up straight. Anybody in? No. It's totally switched off. Hey, I know you can do it. I used to do it at college. You learn at college, don't you, Philip? How to turn the lecture off. And you look intelligent when you've done it, don't you? They think you're listening. And you sit there for an hour and a half and you've just switched him off right at the beginning. Because when he started, you think, oh no, not him again. Not that subject again. Turn him off. We had one lad who could sit up straight. Now, I'm not sure, I can't quite remember whether he closed his eyes and went to sleep or he sat with his eyes open and went to sleep. But he went to sleep. And one day the lecturer realised what had happened, so he told us to very quietly all get up, and we left the room. Left him. Sat up, fast asleep. He twigged on that day. He was boring us. But we've got to stop that, because the devil would seek to cause you to turn off. He wants you to miss what God wants to say to you. God wants you to listen with that ear of the Spirit, watch with the eye of the Spirit, and speak with the lips and the tongue of the Spirit. Wow. Me? Yes. You. That's what God wants. Isn't that right, Joel? Amen. Things are going to be different this next year for you, aren't they? Absolutely going to be a blessed year. We've beaten the enemy in his attack on you. He's now defeated, on the run, and you're on the rise in the presence of God. You're coming to a new level. You're coming to a new release in the things of God. Don't be afraid. Don't hold back. Stop looking back at your past and start looking towards the future. So the promises that God has for you, and begin to walk in those promises. And as you walk in those promises, you will know.